Good morning. This is Long Island Morning Edition on 88.3 WLIW-FM, heard in Western Suffolk on 96.9 FM. I'm Michael Mackey. Thousands of Suffolk County transit riders have not been able to track when their buses will arrive since the September 8th cyber attack. Scan information about the problem has been available, including when it'll be fixed. The county said riders are still able to call 631-852-5200. That's 631-852-5200 for bus information Monday through Friday between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. And schedules are available at suffolkcountyny.gov/bus-schedules-html. Alfonso A. Castillo reports on Newsday.com that the cyber attack that crippled much of Suffolk's computer systems has also left thousands of transit riders questioning when the next bus will arrive, officials acknowledged. 2 months after Suffolk County Transit announced over Twitter that real-time bus location updates are unavailable due to a system network outage, scan information about the problem has been available to Suffolk County's 9,000 daily bus riders, including those riding the S92 route, which whips around from Greenport to Riverhead to Hampton Bays and all the way back to East Hampton, a very popular route used by many of the folks in our 88.3 FM listening area. Not only has Suffolk County Transit System's website been down since September, but several mobile apps that relied on GPS technology to track buses' locations in real time also have not been functioning. That includes the county's TransLock Rider app. SuffolkCountyNY.gov/bus-schedules goes to there. Attorneys for the Amagansett homeowners who have been locked in a 13-year legal battle with East Hampton Town and the East Hampton Town trustees have asked a judge to charge the town trustees with contempt of court based on their open rebellion against an injunction barring vehicles from the beach near their homes. It's commonly referred to as Truck Beach. Michael Wright reports on 27East.com that Steve Angel, a Riverhead attorney who has represented five Beach Hampton Property Owners Associations, who sued to block 4x4 vehicle access to Truck Beach by their homes in 2009, claimed that the East Hampton trustees should be held in contempt because of the actions of Southampton attorney Daniel Rogers, who represents a group of fishermen that have mounted protests over the privatization of the beach and a court injunction barring 4x4 vehicles. The East Hampton Town Board was held in contempt of court earlier this year, in part because town police officers allowed the protesters to access the beach, even though they then issued them summonses for trespassing. Angel says that Rogers is co-counsel to the trustees and has declared war on the court in statements made outside Southampton Town Justice Court last month following the dismissal of trespassing charges against the fishermen. The Commission on Veterans Patriotic Events will be hosting a Veterans Day service in Agawam Park in Southampton Village today at 11 a.m. All veterans are invited to participate and attend. The weather is expected to be good. Cloudy, temperatures in the mid-60s or so. We're not expecting rain until this afternoon. The invocation and benediction will be given by the Venerable Edward Fuller, U.S. Army veteran and interim clergy in charge at St. John's Episcopal Church until December. Tom Gabrielle is the guest speaker. He was born and raised in Bridgehampton and currently lives in Watermill. Mr. Gabrielle enlisted in the Army in 1983 and served as an infantryman in the 1st Armored Division in Germany. So that's today, 11 a.m. at Agawam Park in Southampton Village, celebrating veterans on Veterans Day. Curtains are still rising on Long Island stages because of a $93 million life preserver from the federal government during the pandemic's height, arts industry executives say. James T. Madore reports on Newsday.com that just over 100 local performing arts centers, independent movie theaters, bars with live music, and producers of entertainment won COVID-19 relief last year via the federal Shuttered Venue Operators Grant Program, according to a Newsday analysis of new data. For some, the Shuttered Venue Operators Grant Program, SVOG money, arrived in the nick of time time as they had used up earlier help, including Paycheck Protection Program loans, COVID-19 economic injury disaster loans, state and county grants, and private donations. "We would not have made it because we didn't have the resources to survive," said Paul Allen, executive artistic director at The Gateway, which has been producing plays and musicals since 1950. The Belport Theater won $3.4 million in SVOG funding. "We felt forgotten by government in the early days of the pandemic, that nobody cared what happened to the arts," said Julianne Penza-Boone, executive director of the West Hampton Beach Performing Arts Center. "Then the SVOG was announced, and it was like, this is going to be okay. We're not going to be diminished in any way," she said. The 425-seat center's survival was never in doubt because of community backing, but there was uncertainty about what types of shows that the West Hampton Beach Performing Arts Center could afford to put on when it reopened. With the SVOG grant, they were able to do so accordingly. A federal judge has temporarily barred the state of New York from issuing the first batch of retail licenses for recreational cannabis in five regions, pending resolution of a lawsuit filed by a Michigan-based company challenging the program's selection requirements. The decision yesterday from the Federal District Court in Syracuse spells trouble for New York State's plan to begin recreational cannabis sales as soon as this year. Ashley Southall in the New York Times reports that the judge, Gary L. Sharp, said the state of New York could not issue conditional licenses to operate dispensaries in Brooklyn, Central New York, the Finger Lakes, the Mid-Hudson area, and Western New York while the case is pending. His decision affects 63 of the 150 licenses that the state planned to issue to businesses and individuals who met a narrow criteria. 11 other regions, including the Bronx, Manhattan, Queens, Staten Island, and Long Island, were not affected. The case, brought by Verisite NY1, argues that requirements that applicants have a cannabis-related conviction under New York State law and significant ties to the state violate constitutional protections of interstate commerce. The Montauk Playhouse Community Center Foundation will hold its annual flag ceremony in honor of veterans this morning at the Montauk Playhouse Community Center. The ceremony will begin today at 11 a.m. at the Flagpole Garden at the Montauk Playhouse Community Center and will feature the raising of the flag and a wreath-laying ceremony by local Boy Scouts and Brownie Troops and music by Nancy Atlas. Light refreshments will be served outdoors following the Montauk ceremony. Veterans, as well as the entire community, are invited to attend this ceremony, rain or shine. We're not expecting rain until this afternoon, as we honor our heroes. At 11 a.m. at Agawam Park in Southampton Village, there will be a Veterans Day ceremony, as there has been for many years before. Members of the public came to the Sag Harbor School Board of Education meeting this past Monday night to share continued frustration with the district's handling of the effort to acquire land on nearby Marsden Street, right near the Pearson High School, to develop into an athletic field, even after the community voted in favor of using capital reserve funds to do so on November 3rd. Kaylin Riley reports on 27East.com that, to some who spoke on Monday night, the tight margin in the 638-521 vote was a sign that the Sag Harbor community remains divided over the issue, and they reiterated talking points they have hewed to since the district first announced in September that it would seek to purchase the property with a combination of reserve funds and a $6 million contribution from the Southampton Town Community Preservation Fund. 55% to 45% is a very close vote, said Ray Pepe, who spoke during the first public input portion of the meeting. It's not unanimous. He shared a common refrain from those who have been outspoken in their opposition to the purchase and the vote, that the community was not given enough information by the Sag Harbor School District about what it plans to do with the property to make an informed decision, and that attempts to disseminate that kind of information were rushed and incomplete ahead of the vote. In response, district officials have reiterated what has also been a common refrain. They plan to fulfill that request for more information and community engagement. Superintendent of Schools Jeff Nichols thanked everyone in the community came out to vote on November 3rd and said that the next step in the process is to acquire and ultimately develop the property is community outreach. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.